Whoa.
I'll tell you what, Tucker.
Yeah, no, wait. Could you give us a little spin in that shirt? Because that's beautiful. That's the best thing I've ever seen. Whoa!
I'm feeling a little bit funky today on this episode of Take It Easy,
Are you
folks.
Standing for this one?
I'm feeling like Funky Kong. Well, I just fucking woke up, so I gotta pull it together a little bit.
Yeah, you gotta. Why do you give us a couple of jumping jacks?
Okay.
Get the blood pressure up. There you go. Look at him go. This is going to be a hype episode. Ted's on that morning
thing. I'm feeling
hype. I just had some turkey chili.
Wow.
And I've been to the gym. Monster pump.
Monster pump.
Yeah, big chest.
You know what's something funny? I'd gone to basketball.
What day?
On Sunday. But here's the kicker. I didn't go with Hassan.
Who'd you go with?
I went with the other group. They play basketball in a different area. This is the Ludwig group.
Oh, cool.
I'll tell you what. I got a sunburn a little bit that's not visible because it was shirts versus skins and I ended up on skins.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, and it was a hot day too. So it was like, oh, you're on skins. And I was like, I didn't bring any sunscreen. I'm kind of a sunscreen guy these days.
You're pale. It's in your jeans. Nothing you can do about it.
You're like just about as pale as me, my guy.
Not even close.
That's crazy to say.
Emma's literally shaking her head over there.
I'm sure you could say a little bit tanner than me, but to say not even close is an underestimation of how white you are, Tucker.
It's not even close. It's not even close.
Yeah, not even close is like, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you right now. I mean,
these are golden, baby. Gold. Put your knuckles up.
Do you know that some people.
Knuckle up, buddy. Knuckle up. Oh my God, dude. It's pink. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. I think that settled it right there. Welcome to Take It Easy.
The question wasn't that whether or not you were tanner than me. It was whether or not you. I was not even close to being the same shade as you. You're
not even close. I'll die. My grave will say not even close.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it's going to say.
That's crazy.
And your grave is going to say pale.
Damn. All right. I didn't know that you put so much stake in this.
They'll be side by side. You'll be dead pale. I'll be dead right next to you. And mine will say not even close.
Yeah, and guess whose date of is going to be earlier? Yours, because you don't wear fucking sunscreen.
Somebody's going to kill you this October, because people, for the first chunk of Take It Easy's life, people were like, Ted, October 23rd this year, it's coming. We can't wait.
That's because there's like a small sect of cultists within the Easygoers.
They would love to see like Schlatt kill you. Like that would get them off.
They'd love to see Schlatt kill me and then take my place on Take It Easy. And
yeah,
they're
sort
of like
they would cheer that on.
They're essentially like what Christians are to Jesus. Like they're constantly in their own head. They're like, he's gonna rise again.
Yeah,
he's gonna
come back. They really are.
He's coming back. I swear, he's coming back.
You know what's about to come back? I'm about to come back into every single one of your sub feeds because I'm dropping a new video soon. Script is done
Tucker
this week.
Tucker does. It's true. Tucker does have a big,
it's going to be my biggest one yet. I don't care if you get 10 videos out before this one. It is going to be my biggest drop yet.
Some might call it your magnum opus.
The last 48 hours, it's just been like coming together in my head. I'm like, oh, I got a skit for that. And I got a bit for that. And I know how I'm going to present this, and it's just going to be juicy.
What type of juice?
College.
What type of juice?
College. The juice of college.
Wait, what?
You don't know what I've developed. You don't know.
I don't actually. Is this not what we were talking about
before?
No, it
is, but no, it is, but I've refined it and I've channeled it. And I've figured out how I want it to be delivered to the people. And I think it's going to be really good. I'm a little worried about the editing time. And also, I just ordered a prop on eBay. That's how you know this is big, when you're investing in the video.
You love eBay, too. I'm like ordering all my props. I'm always ordering off of like all my props. I'm always ordering off of fucking Amazon.
You can't get this prop on Amazon
directly by Universal. Universal gave me these.
You can't get this prop on Amazon. It's
look at that
old Beretta, dude. Buy me one.
I got one right here. Bam, bam, bam.
I want a Beretta so bad. Italian Marine Corps contract.
Rubber. This is the stunt gun that I.
Oh, you used that in a video.
Well, in my recent video, I used it, but this was the stunt. These are the stunt guns from the Universal video that
right.
I did in 2021.
I forgot about the Universal video.
Yeah, I keep all of my props. I actually have, do you know what's something I didn't use in that video that I have yet to use in any video at all, but I still have it and I need to figure out how to use it.
Is it the bat?
I've used the bat plenty of times. I've got a squib. You know what that is?
No, that sounds true. Well, there
it's like a hydraulic device where you basically put it inside a shirt and someone can like pretend to shoot you and it's like, psh.
Oh, we should use that. We should make a skit.
You're into skits now.
I've always been into skits. I got you on skits. I said, you got to get skits in these videos because Scott the Waz is doing skits. Oh, I love his skits.
I was doing skits before then, though.
No, you weren't. No, you weren't. I brought skits into this world, and I'll take them out. People didn't start doing skits until I started enjoying them.
Really? And when did you start enjoying skits?
2017.
Okay.
Let's make that 2015. I think IDUBS had some good skits back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what was a great skit?
If we're talking about the most recent skits that I've done in my videos, I was doing skits as early as 2022.
Right. What'd you do? What was your first big skit?
If you want a specific example, then I'll give it to you right now in the chat. 10 minutes and 9 seconds into this video. Remember this one?
Taxes was Texas.
Hold on, I gotta watch an ad because I'm logged in to Take It Easy.
I may have found the strangest Halloween.
Oh wait, what? No 10 minutes and what?
9 seconds.
10 minutes and 9 seconds. You did a skit.
Did this for every holiday. He would be the weirdest person to be around.
What is going on, high schooler, fellow high schooler Trent?
Hey, what's up, man? You said
the milk sweater.
Yeah, Trent, my dad just bought a 45 and spikes for the fireplace. We're gonna get him for sure this year.
Huh, okay. Brent, are you and your dad gonna try to kill Santa Claus?
And there's Santa, and there's Mrs. Claus, and there's the elves. Oh, there's the elves, all right. The elves are coming, aren't they? And they're gonna.
Hey, Trent. What is wrong with him?
Oh, you know, it's just crazy Adam. He gets a little bit too much into the holiday spirit.
Did somebody say spirits? I love Halloween.
Oh, wait, what? Shit. What? What do you mean?
So Linda convinces...
All right. That was an all right skit, but what's even better is this video has a comment from YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
You got a YouTube comment. That's as big as it gets.
They haven't commented on my videos in a while. I think I've fallen out of the good graces, probably because I don't ever fucking post.
Well, you're back on track, right? Back on track.
I am back on track. I've got a main channel video that I'm gonna be after today, really, because we're taking it easy all day today. I'm gonna start working on today. I posted a video 3 days ago, as of us recording this, and I've got a video that's gonna start right after I finish the next one, and I've got a video that I'm working on behind the scenes, and technically. I have two long-term videos that'll come out in like whenever they're done.
Some might say that you're on a win streak.
And then I have another video idea. And then I have another video idea. So I've got like five video ideas that have possibility to them.
When you're on a hot streak, getting big wins all the time, what do?
Big wins. Well,
you keep
I'm
winning.
Looking for
and the fastest way to keep winning is to get another set of scratchers.
Holy shit. Are you fucking kidding me?
And I'm scratching them live. Here we go.
Are you?
It's tax day. That means I got fucking $0 left of my name. So we're putting it all on scratchers. This is everything I got left. We got a 17 and a 13 for winning numbers. I'm really into both those numbers.
Dude, you got to stop. You're out of control. Tucker's got a look at him. He's hunched over. He's hunched
nothing
over.
Nothing on the top one. Nothing on the top one at all.
He's hunched over, and he's in his own world. He's entered into the gambling zone. This is disgusting.
Oh.
This is disgusting.
Hey, if you don't win today, you'll win tomorrow. That's what they say, right?
I'm looking at this.
Nothing. What a shame. Emma, double check.
This is gross.
I'm always afraid I'm going to win one of those things. And I'll be like, I lost, and throw it out. And then you got $100,000 sitting in the trash can.
Man.
Well, we'll try again tomorrow. That's what tax season's like for us at the bottom. It's, you put it all on black every single day.
Tucker's discovering taxes for the first time this year,
No, I discovered them last year. Barely made it out alive. I thought about it. Last night I was laying in bed with my pregnant wife, and I said to her, maybe I should get into some low-level crime.
You know what you got to have Larry do?
What? What do I need Larry to do?
You got to have him just pay estimated taxes on a quarterly basis.
That's still paying taxes.
Yeah, and but it's not going to be this huge fucking slammer in April where you're like suddenly, you go from like you're wearing your top hat, you're spinning your cane, and then you get hit by the taxes, and all of a sudden you're Squidward on the side of the road with spare change, because that's the development that you had. You were like, I think I'm gonna buy a new gun.
I think I'm gonna buy a new gun to, we're fucking broke.
Yeah, I can't even leave the state. Is where you went from.
I don't plan on leaving the state for a long time. We're heading to Aldi tomorrow, and that should make anybody understand right where we're at.
Where were you? You always shop at Aldi though.
Aldi's are tough times grocery store.
Really?
Yeah. Have you? You've probably never been to an Aldi.
I've been to an Aldi. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that sounded really convincing, Ted.
I've been to an Aldi.
You can tell exactly what kind of place Aldi is because you got to put a fucking quarter in to get a shopping cart.
They're making you pay for the shopping cart.
Yeah, they're making you pay for the fucking shopping cart.
Yeah,
they
are.
Do they give it back to you?
Well,
I forget.
You don't actually pay. You're renting it. You put a quarter in, it unlocks. To get the quarter back, you have to bring it back to the corral.
Yeah, so, that's what I thought from going to Aldi.
It's actually a pretty good system. I always return my cart. If you don't return your cart, you're a bad person.
Yeah, no, I always return my cart too. And I have sometimes gotten thanked by those people out there in the trenches running the cart thing. And I'm like, man, things must be really bad if you're thanking me right now for this.
A lot of people don't return them. A minority steal them. And those of us at the top are... I didn't mean like a minority group. I meant number of people.
Okay. Yeah,
you thought I was talking about a targeted community. You gave me the dirtiest look.
I gave you the dirtiest look because you were like.
No, I meant like a minority of us.
A minority steals them.
I didn't mean it like that.
I just meant
a minority of the number.
You got to be specific about that, because when someone says a minority,
I don't know. I was thinking purely in data and percentages.
Okay.
I think a minority of the people, the total number, steal them.
Minority of shoppers.
A minority of shoppers steal the carts.
Yeah, a big chunk don't return them,
and those of us who are waking up every day with good grace in our hearts are returning them.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, that was a huge boost to the Tucker haters. When one of the Tucker haters heard you say minority, they were like, and they started typing.
Emma's actually fueling the haters, because in the episode that just went live, there was a point where I said, I hate Legend of Korra. And you said, it's because you hate women. And I said, yes, it is. And then she cuts and throws the ad in there.
That's a legendary time to cut through.
That's my own wife doing that to me today. The knuckle. Have you ever tried the knuckle?
No, because I'm not your wife.
The knuckle is
I'm not your pregnant wife.
In what? Nutella and pickles, I think. You ever had Nutella and pickles? It's called the knuckle. And
yeah, I'm sure that's a pretty like topical and important thing to eat after getting punched by your husband, you know?
Well, Emma brought me a knuckle on stream once because somebody said, oh, you've got to try the knuckle. It's the best thing ever. So I was like, okay, Emma, fetch me a knuckle. And it was horrible. It was horrible.
Really? It's the worst Nutella thing. And pickle?
Yes, a pickle covered in... Does that sound good? A pickle covered in Nutella?
Do you like Nutella, though?
No, I don't. Nutella's the most overrated thing to ever come out of the grocery store.
That's crazy. Whoa.
No, it's
Hazelnut
not.
Lovers
no,
are
it's
really
not.
Come after you.
If you're eating Nutella, if you're eating it, if you're fangirling over Nutella, grow up. Whoa. Grow up. Oh. I'm sick of hearing about Nutella. When Nutella dropped, everyone is acting like it was the fucking latest and greatest thing that Reese's has made. It's like, no, it's fine. I'd still rather just have peanut butter. This is just like worse, richer peanut butter.
Huh. I feel like it's a totally different experience. You know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'll always go for.
What do you got?
I'll always go for whenever they have some sort of crepe scenario with Nutella and strawberries on it. That's
crepes
a great
with
combo.
Nutella. I'm not a crepe guy either. Just give me a
do you
fucking
even know what
pancake.
A crepe is?
Yeah, it's like a really
you know
thin pancake.
Is.
Crepes are big where I'm living right now. I'd rather just have a regular pancake.
Okay, pancake with Nutella and strawberries.
Give me give me maple syrup, please. Maple syrup. That's
why?
All I want.
It's chocolate, dude. It's hazelnut chocolate. How is that?
What is
that a problem for you? Hazelnut? It's a nut.
No, I know. Is there chocolate in it, or is it just hazelnut?
It's chocolate and hazelnut.
I just don't think I like hazelnut that much. Maybe I just don't think it's that great. It's not worth the hype.
Really?
Not worth the hype at all.
So you're like, fuck the Ferrero Rocher. Not a huge fan of Ferrero Rocher.
They're okay. The texture is great. I mean, if you're a texture guy, you like a good crunch bar.
That's a hazelnut snack.
Yeah, but
right
I'm
there
for the texture. I don't give a fuck about the flavor. In that case, the texture
is
so wonderful.
Texture thing. You think that what,
I love
what
a good texture.
Riddle me this. Okay. Riddle me this. You're within the illusion. Somebody hands you a Nutella and fluff sandwich.
Within the illusion is so texture and temperature based. That it doesn't matter what it actually tastes like. I'm a big proponent of that. If you're within the illusion, flavor, it's not that important. It's texture and it's mouthfeel.
Wait, weren't you just saying that you didn't like the texture of Nutella?
No. What?
Oh.
It's the same texture as peanut butter.
Yeah.
Dude, you got lost in there. Are you within the illusion? I guess it's too early for you. Here's something. We're going to go after some people. We're going to call them what they are.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I mean, I don't know where you're going with this, but I will follow you.
Hop on board. Here we go. This week, this is very topical. Five people went to space. Five celebrities went to space for no other reason than to be a tourist.
Yeah, space tourism, it's back. And Katy Perry is up being a firework in space. She was up there, apparently, allegedly, she was singing up there. Dude, can you imagine? Because people are, what do they pay, like $400,000 to go up there on that thing? I think like actually it's like fucking like $10 million or something to go on the
space trip. It's a 0.001% vacation thing.
Yeah.
And it only lasts like 2 hours. Like the whole process. I mean, you're in space for like 5 minutes, but the whole thing is probably 2 hours. You get the rest of your day after that.
But, I see the appeal because it's
I see the appeal. But we got to recognize that this has got to be the most wasteful possible thing that you could be doing as an ultra elite. The most, you're like, how can we burn a lifetime's worth of gasoline in 5 minutes? Oh, I'll go to space for no reason.
So here's the problem I have with this, because I've been seeing this in the news a little bit.
Okay.
They've done this like 10, 15 times already with Blue Origin.
Yeah.
It seems like the only reason why I'm seeing about it, though, right now, because it is, sure, yeah, it's wasteful, but it seems like the only reason I'm seeing it now is because it was the first all-woman crew, and now all of a sudden all the fuckers on Twitter are making a big deal about it, and they're like, this is so wasteful. There wasn't, we're using all that gas, and there wasn't one man on that spaceship? What the fuck are we doing?
I don't give a fuck if it's a man or a woman on there.
Oh, I know you don't care.
I've been a very angry proponent of Leonardo DiCaprio's little,
oh, I'm making a little environmentalist tweet that's going to get a million likes.
And then I'm flying across the world to my five different yachts doing just partying all the time.
Right. Well, Leonardo DiCaprio is a piece of shit. So
they, well, yeah, like Taylor Swift flying across LA.
Yeah, I don't think that Taylor Swift has ever been a proponent of environmentalism, though.
Yeah, no, I know, but she should be leading by example from the top. I mean, I guess you're your own person. Oh,
yeah,
but
I mean, she's like, I think the current flavor that people have in their mouths from Taylor Swift is not so tasty, because she does this thing
not
where,
so tasty. Yeah, Taylor Swift is just in not so tasty.
Not so tasty, because she'll, whenever somebody is like about to get to the Billboard number one, when she had released her new album.
I know where you're going.
You've seen this? She would.
Well,
she
Emma's would, all over that.
She would release a new version of her album to chum the numbers.
Chumming those numbers.
She's chumming the numbers, dude.
Yeah, no,
that's a good take it easy phrase. That's
chumming the numbers. She's chumming the numbers.
If we got a historian listening right now, enter into that take it easy thing. Chumming the numbers. He's chumming the numbers.
She does chum the numbers.
We announced your pregnancy halfway through last
were we chumming the numbers? Maybe.
We're at fucking 2 out of 10. We're chumming the numbers.
But
we weren't.
I think what makes it exceptionally chummy, like she would be served at the chum bucket, she's so chummy, is because she's putting others down. We're just harnessing our own audience, and I don't think anyone else gets hurt.
Yeah.
We're just like, hey, you might want to listen to this episode you've never heard before.
Yeah.
It's a mild chum, perhaps, or is it really just a good title? Is it just good news? I think it's just good news. There's nothing chummy about it.
I think that people are happy for you. And I think that a big part of it is that people were getting in there because they were like, Ted and Tucker are adopting a child together and getting married?
Yeah, we hired a surrogate to have a take it easy baby, a corpo baby.
Yeah, it was like when I saw the title that you chose for it, where it was like huge announcement, I was like, oh fuck! We didn't. Tucker didn't specify it was his baby. They're gonna be every comment's gonna be like, so excited for you and Ted.
That'd be wild. They'd be like, whoa! First off, didn't know Ted was even in a relationship. Second, he's having a baby,
and it's with Tucker.
I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant, guys.
But I've told you. I mean, that's not quite the baby route, but that's how I'm gonna do public relationships from now on. Is I will not have a public relationship. It's going to be the next time you guys will see me see stuff about, or at least that's how my head's at right now, about a relationship. It will be, hey, I just got engaged or something.
Yeah,
like
I think that's a smart, safe play for a guy like you. You're at the top, you're looking down, you say, hey, I don't want him knowing my business.
Yeah.
Well, because everybody's a critic, you know? Even with the baby stuff, everybody we meet, like family, even people, like we met a guy, really cool guy at the store the other day. He starts giving you advice. They're all giving you advice.
Really?
Everybody. Oh yeah. Everybody's chirping.
Because Emma's pretty, you know, visibly pregnant.
She's at the point where she's visibly pregnant. She's got the overalls on all the time now.
Overalls?
Yeah. I mean, they'll know.
I haven't seen her wear these. I was just there.
You were here for like a day.
Yeah,
sorry she didn't wear overalls the day you were here, but I see her every day.
She wears overalls all the time.
All the time now. Well, that's a pregnant woman thing, is overalls.
Because
they show the bump really well.
I thought it was muumuus.
What the fuck is a muumuu?
Emma knows.
Emma, do you know what a muumuu is? Oh, shit, she does.
Yeah, babe.
Muumuu? This says it's an online trading platform.
Oh my god!
Oh, is it like a sundress thing? Kind of.
It's like a sleeping gown or something, or something you wig wear.
Nah, Emma doesn't have a muumuu. The second thing is a Super Mario Wiki in Mario Kart 64 and Wii. Muumuu Meadows.
That's funny. Muumuu Meadows.
They should make a muumuu that is cow patterned.
But wait, we should talk more about this space thing, because I know that you've got more that you want to say about it.
Oh, I just think it's such a waste. And I think, well, obviously, like, the five-woman thing is definitely like spinning it.
I think part of this comes into like your personal opinion about space, though, going to space. Like, I don't think you don't want to do that. That's not something that interests you.
Space is interesting, but I don't think I could get over the fear of detonating 10,000 feet off the ground to do it.
Yeah.
And remember, I don't know if in my seventh grade science class, my teacher, forget her name, she was kooky as fuck. She was so passionate about the Challenger explosion because there was a teacher on there. This woman who was a teacher there was like a competition or something. She got selected to go on the Challenger. Challenger blew up in low altitude.
Yeah, that's fucking tragic.
Yeah, I don't want to be on the Challenger, and seeing that once was enough.
I do think it's gotten to the point though with these launches where it's pretty safe.
Well, Elon Musk, they launch a satellite like every day.
Yeah. So, and like, do you want to hear something crazy? The fucking little Musky Tusky he's launching a new thing where it's like, I don't know oh, you're gonna hate it, Tucker, in terms of environmental friendliness. It's like a travel service for.
Oh, space. I saw this where they're gonna use like rockets to be able to get across Earth really fast, like as a plane. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, you want to go to Beijing today? Like, hop on a shuttle in Austin, Texas, and we'll rocket you over there. It'll only take an hour and a half. Like,
dude, it'll take like 30 minutes, 45 minutes or something.
Yeah. I can't wait for the first billionaire to fucking explode on that thing. Space is super valuable, and it should totally be utilized for like telecommunications, GPS, bringing internet to like globally community. Like, there's so many communities in Africa that are going to get high-speed internet because of Starlink. Like, Starlink's a really good idea. So for those things, yeah. It's like, environmentally, it's
funny too,
it's
because
worth
he's the only one who's going to be able to do it too. He's got the Starlink has a fucking thing on the market, but you know why?
What do you mean a thing on the market? What
they've got, like they will kind of own that market and probably eventually need to get split up in terms of like when that sort of market grows, because of the fact that there's only so much space
in
low Earth orbit
.
To have satellites. So, and he's launched 7,000.
Yeah.
There's 7,000 Starlink satellites in low Earth orbit. And there's only so much room for those things. So, they're like, eventually it's probably going to be a thing where the government's going to be like, hey, now you're the only one who has this company power.
Mm.
You're going to have to split you up. You know?
Yeah. We probably will start to see the capitalization of space. But, I mean, sure, that's like a capitalist
project. We're
going to
start. We're seeing it now, dude.
Yeah, we are seeing
it now. Katy Perry just went into space.
For fun. Purely for fun. Yeah, no.
Commercialization of space is something that exists in our life. But it's weird because it's like, but we're also like, we don't have boots on the moon right now. It feels weird. It's like this in-between period. I feel like 20 years, we'll have some boots on the moon, surely. Moon base? Come on, get us a moon base.
I would love to see a moon base. Like, that's a worthy endeavor because there's so much potential.
Here's a question I have though about your thoughts on like the waste thing, because like in that sort of like future mindset of mm-hmm. what space would look like, people would be doing that.
Well, I think
of
it's
like the future of like my visual of what the future would look like, it'd be like people would be using spaceships to get around the planet.
I think right now it's because like we're at a tipping point. I mean, we're going to be at a tipping point indefinitely.
Yeah, tipping point number seven.
We've been at a tipping point forever, except it's never going to just tip. That's just not how it works, really. But we're also like fuel as we use it on Earth is limited, kind of like oil. Yeah. Petroleum's limited. You can subvert, but like it's more the emissions thing, because that's like a really hot button issue for everything. Like, politicians and celebrities are always getting on an American, like, low, middle-class Americans about, like, cars and
yeah.
all that. Like, New York City's getting rid of gas stoves for emissions, but it's like, okay, but,
yeah.
like, why don't you tackle
hear,
these?
You hear the thing about composting, too?
Yes, yeah. New York City is forcing people to compost, which is a good idea. I have no idea how practical that's going to be for New York.
I'm pretty sure it's on the landlords.
Yes, that's what I heard too. I know nothing about it other than that.
I think we heard this at the same time.
Probably. Oh, Emma told us. Yeah, right.
We're having a conversation about something that Emma told us in the same room.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. We compost 99% of our food through Lomi. Lomi's not a perfect thing, and I think you have to be
It's not even real compost.
No, it's just really easy to compost material. It dehydrates it breaks it down.
How much energy does it use to do that, though?
Yeah, I would say it negates the energy. Like, you'd be better off, but we have black bears here. Like, you literally couldn't compost. I got a video of the black bear fucking up our trash the other night. Pretty big.
You know what you should do? You should get, you should make a compost bin. Well, that's not your house. You probably wouldn't do this project. But if you had black bears, you could make a compost bin and then make a bear box over it.
Yeah, no, I've thought about doing that. We're building some new raised beds this weekend.
Oh, so you're going to build your bed frame?
No, raised bed is like a garden for like strawberries. Oh. We just bought a bed frame through Thuma. Thuma, sponsor us.
Oh, yeah.
Really nice. Lomi's great, and I've had a lot of fun using my Lomi. But we have broken a bunch of components that weren't our fault and had them warrantied. So, which makes it even more like environmentally unconscious. And yeah, it does use a lot of electricity. I mean, they say it doesn't use a lot, but it uses electricity to compost. But that gets us around pests. And I'm a huge proponent of nuclear power and solar power and all these other alternative energies. Like where the energy is coming from is kind of out of my control as a low level consumer. So I don't like lose sleep over that, but we don't throw any food out. So we don't generate that much trash because our trash never stinks. So that's pretty good. We don't take out the trash like maybe once a week. And it's usually just packaging. Also, here's a weird thing I'm really torn over is products that come with really nice packaging. I don't know how you feel. Like, it's really nice to get a product that's really packaged.
I got a new iPhone recently. And the packaging comes in, it's like you slide it out. It's like, do I even have this?
Yeah, it's like super sleek, like elegant packaging.
Yeah, it's like it'll come out and it's like, this is like, so the, you know, the fucking wire is so nicely put together. And then it's like you pull this out and it's like, iPhone. You know?
It's just like a lot of really custom shit that's overly
recyclable
elegant.
On it, though.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in recycling. The recycling I trust the most is bringing glass and cans and stuff to the grocery store.
Well, because you know that they're breaking that shit down.
Yeah, that's, they're like making cubes of aluminum.
But for most of the recycling, I think we've talked about this before, they're shipping it off to China. Now China's not even taking it.
Yeah, that was like a big 2020 debacle, I think, is China stopped taking our trash. Or it was around then. And
I got a new iPhone, though.
How is it?
It's nice, dude. It's nice.
I'm still on my Samsung Galaxy S20, and it's
crazy how easy it is to switch to the new phone too.
I remember when I got this one, you literally put them back to back, and it turned the new phone into the old one, like in terms of all your settings.
Yeah, that's what I did with this one.
It was really nice
for me. It took like 7 hours because I have 200 gigabytes worth of footage on there.
You got the terabyte, right?
Yeah, now I've got a tear. Because we were talking about that, weren't we, on the pod?
I don't know if we were talking about it on the pod, but we talked about it that weekend.
Yeah, where it was like you wanted.
Well, I was mad.
You wanted 5 terabytes, though.
The Galaxy S20 through Verizon doesn't have a micro SD thing because Verizon's SIM card or something, their antenna is too big. So they X support. But also, the S20, I think, was the last Samsung Galaxy to offer micro SD. I have no idea why they're getting rid of that. I mean, I do. It's to force you to buy a new phone when you run out of space. But as somebody who films videos and content shit on your phone, you use it up. It would be so nice to be able to slide in a micro SD. And then you could also just buy a 5 terabyte one or some crazy number and throw it in there.
Do they make 5 terabyte micro SDs?
I bet. Let me look. Yeah. I bet they do. I'm seeing two.
Yeah, I'm seeing like one. I see a two.
SanDisk has two for under $200.
Man, that's crazy.
Like, why can't I just hot swap these into my phone? Give me a reason that isn't purely anti-consumer. I've had it with all these big organizations and these big people fucking us over. It's tax day, dude. I'm pissed.
Dude, what's the difference between the Extreme Pro and the Extreme for SanDisk? Because that's both
something you'd be better at answering than I could.
Well, because they're both V30 cards.
I don't even know what that means.
Different. V30 is the write speed.
Oh, okay.
So you want it, like, if you're filming in 4K,
you want
on a V10, you're probably gonna want like a V30 or something.
Does it just not write, or does it just like not deliver all the information or something?
I think it makes the card like doesn't like it. Doesn't like it. Oh yeah, this is a difference of literally just like 10 megabytes per second. But it's like a split of like literally fucking $84. And one's prime. Man, I should get one of these.
For what?
Can you imagine that? For filming or something. I mean, like, to have just like micro SDs that you don't need to fill up. Although I guess it's good to offload cards frequently to avoid corruption or something like that. But that's pretty nice. I've got this time-lapse camera that I'm using for a video, and this would be good for that because then I'd never have to like kind of
check it,
worry about it. Yeah.
I think I have two 128s that I use, and those guys are pretty good. I mean, it's not often I find myself running out because I always put them in on a clean slate. So you can get pretty far with that.
You got me thinking about this. I'm buying two of them.
He's locked in, folks.
I'll just buy one. I'll see how it does. I need to buy two. What am I doing?
You know what's a cool thing? I mean, it's actually not cool at all in any sense of the word, but something that works that feels not allowed is if you have a PlayStation 3, which I do, it's right, you can't see, it's right back there. It still has Netflix. You can still actively use Netflix on your PS3 with component or composite cables on your CRT, which feels like you can watch authentically anything you want, anything modern on that. But also, Netflix has some old shows. Specifically, it has Pokemon Season 1 and 2, which are 4x3. So they look incredible on that. It's a treat. It's a treat.
I like that. Yeah. I like that.
And it on the PS3, it just, it feels wrong. The PS3 doesn't
feels dirty.
Look,
I bet you feel dirty doing that.
I do. I'm like, this isn't going to be around much longer. You've seen that they're it's like super, super likely the Oblivion remaster is coming out.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I watched a whole video about, not a whole video, but I watched several pieces of content about the size of the game Daggerfall. Were you seeing this stuff?
Is that
too?
An Elder Scrolls?
Yeah, it's like the first Elder Scrolls game, or an early one. It's like kind of got that sort of, it plays and looks kind of how like the original Doom did, you know?
Oh,
where
that
it's
weird
like you're
first
walking
person.
In a 3D space, but then there's 2D guys that are like this.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Daggerfall. Okay, let me look that up real quick. You keep talking.
The map size is slightly smaller than Great Britain.
Oh, I used to see that on those YouTube videos way back that were map size comparisons where it kept getting bigger. And then there was always one that was just monstrous that I never knew what it was. So that must be Daggerfall.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of stuff you can walk to, I mean, because then people get like a little bit like, when they talk about map size, when I see those map size comparisons, you always see No Man's Sky at the end.
You got to take
because
it with a grain of salt.
Procedurally generated universe, you know. But Daggerfall is like, it's like you could walk to each town, but there's like a fast travel thing where it like, that you pretty much need to use. But the whole thing is like, most of that space in between the towns is like empty.
How did they make it so big? I'm looking at it now trying to understand it. But how is it so big on such old hardware?
Well, to a certain degree, it's because it's like not really that complicated. Like the whole scenario of like, It's also a procedurally generated. So it's, but it's on one seed. So like all the games ship with one seed. So they all generate the same way.
Can I just say that I absolutely adore the cover art for this game?
Whoa.
The box art for this game is so cool. It is so like 90s vibe.
That's you know what that's like? That's like when you, this is what the AIs
wish they could make.
This is what the AIs are copying when you get that, when you see one of those things in reels where it's like,
I'm a sucker for those.
And it's like me and bro going on our adventure, and it's like two wizards looking off into the distance. Yeah, I've sent you at least two of those.
I just love this kind of fantasy aesthetic.
Dark fantasy aesthetic.
Dark fantasy is so cool with skeletons, and I don't know what it is, but it's so cool. Just the art style. I have no idea how to describe this, which is horrible for somebody who's on a podcast. I should be good at describing this.
I feel like it's like dark fantasy aesthetic 90s.
It's just so over the top, and it's very skeleton heavy.
It's also like sort of comic-y.
Yeah, it's comic-y. I really like that skeleton-y, comic-y, dungeon-y feel. It's like new fantasy sometimes feels like it's trying too hard. Game of Thrones is a little try hard.
It's like an 80s look.
It's kind of like, I would say it spawned like 70s with D&D, and it's kind of the D&D aesthetic. I like the D&D aesthetic a lot, but not like Baldur's Gate, more like Stranger Things. You know what I mean?
I've got something for you. I'm gonna start. I'm gonna share ones that I find here that are, I think, are real. This might actually.
You think are real? That's a disclaimer.
I mean, that's
in good
that's
faith.
Literally
he
like,
thinks they're real.
That's what our life is like these days.
Yes.
Shit like that.
Yeah, that's more like movie poster kind of. Like that's gonna be a live action with that cigarette smoke haze kind of in the movie.
Oh, shit. It's totally AI.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's totally AI. I'm like, well, yeah, because I was looking at it for like a more than a second, and I'm realizing if you look to the look at the lower left of that guy.
Let me take a look at his lower left.
There's like a random fucking sword hand amalgamation.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. Yeah. Well, you know what cover kind of uses this art style is The Empire Strikes Back. It has that. It's hand-drawn, but it's supposed to look like live action, kind of. Look at the Empire Strikes Back cover, and you'll know what I mean.
It's crazy, because I'm wondering what the original source of this aesthetic is, because obviously it's... Okay. Wait, hold on.
The Forest of Doom. That looks badass right there. That looks super cool. I think Doom 2 also had this. Oh, not Doom 2. What am I talking about? Diablo 2. I think Diablo 2 had it. Diablo 2. Oh, they've got the skeleton guy. There's a lot of skeleton action, and something about that skeleton draws me in. But honestly, the Doom 2, since I Googled it, the Doom 2 cover is also like this.
Yeah, I found another good one. These are, I had to look for directly, like look for book covers to avoid the AI. That's a good one.
I want to show you one that I've always thought was really cool. That is a good one, Ted. Is Super Ghouls and Ghosts for Super Nintendo?
Super Ghouls and Ghosts. If somebody's going to make us, that's what we need. If you're a talented artist right now.
Oh, for our game night? For our game thing?
Yeah. If somebody is interested, and we'll, because we're, you know, we'll pay you to do it. You know, I'll pay
there's
you
a potential for money in this.
No, there will be money, but you just send us your portfolio. Happily. Add us on Twitter, or you know, just add us on stuff and tag us and stuff on your ability to make something like Daggerfall for our Patreon gaming thing of Tucker and I, like kind of like on an adventure kind of thing. That'd be a really cool cover to make of this sort of 80s thing. We don't need fucking AI for this shit. We want a real talented artist to do this. And we're not asking for free work. Just send us
your portfolio. You will be paid.
Yeah, send us your portfolio and then we'll choose someone and we'll work with them on it. And that'd be pretty cool. That'd be a pretty cool thing.
This has kind of gotten me. This is something I've been wanting to talk about that I didn't even know. And I'm going to send you a few others that.
This is a great design on the font too. So this is the Elder Scrolls 2.
So this, I noticed this initially in video games. As I grew up and got into kind of retro gaming with Super Nintendo and N64, they would ship, because the game was 16-bit and everyone knew it was going to be 16-bit, the cover arts for the game were these hand-drawn, awesome pieces of art. Like, I would, if I could get this as a big, nice quality poster, I would frame this shit. Like, this Super Metroid one, it's badass. Yeah. Samus and Ridley look nothing like that in the game because it's on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, but Daggerfall looks really fucking cool.
It just has such, like, these... They used to make cover arts for games that were really, really cool.
Dude, one of the copy for Daggerfall, like with the box art thing,
is on the
Wikipedia, is prepare to experience your new obsession.
That's awesome. I love old. The 90s were a really beautiful time for video games because the box art was what your imagination felt like the game should look like.
Yeah.
Because the game wasn't hyper-realistic looking, your imagination filled in the gaps with what was on the cover art, which was on the cover of the game, which was art that somebody made.
Yeah. And
that's a lost thing. Now the cover of a game is just a still of the character from in the game engine. We've lost this art. I think the art's so cool. It's so cool. It's such a cool aesthetic. And I think the Super Nintendo... through like the N64 era, maybe even like PS1 era a little bit, that kind of overlaps. That, I guess that really over, the 90s. The 90s had really good aesthetics for stuff like this. A lot of character
there's a
there.
Dragonfall Unity remasters the classic Elder Scrolls. This, since 2014, Glavin Clayton has been remaking the Elder Scrolls 2 Dragonfall in Unity.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm happy for them, but... a lot of games get remade.
That's cool, and I'm happy for them and all, but also, fuck you.
As somebody who's kind of like a generic consumer in all this, and I think most of the audience is too, I'm not really that interested in like a modded, fan-made adaptation.
What about Skyblivion?
I don't know what that is.
Skyblivion is a massive project that intends to port Oblivion into Skyrim's advanced engine.
That's cool. Really cool, but it sounds like Oblivion completely remastered. Or remade is coming out. The leaks are really, really convincing and numerous. So it's like, great.
Really?
Like
if okay, well, tell me about the fucking.
Oh,
tell me about
huge leaks with screenshots, everything. Here, I can send some. We can, and hopefully, it's likely if the rumors are true, it's likely by the time this comes out, we'll have an official announcement. People think not only is it getting announced like this month, it's going to come out this month, which that seems extreme. But look up Oblivion. Remaster and then go to a Twitter or something. It looks so cool and it looks really legit. It doesn't look like AI, it looks like in-engine shots of everything. If that game comes out,
Elder Scrolls Oblivion remaster seemingly confirmed as new screenshots leak. Well, yeah, a remaster is something that Bethesda needs desperately. Because they have just been like striking out upon striking out, and you know,
yeah, no, an Oblivion remaster that's super faithful to the original.
I liked Starfield. I got really bored really quickly though.
Starfield, well, yeah.
Once
I didn't
finished Starfield,
it
was like it had this whole setup where it was like you can keep going and you can keep like doing prestige or whatever in the game. And I was like, I played through the game like once, and then after that, I was like. Okay.
Yeah, you streamed some of it, didn't you?
Maybe.
I think you did.
I don't know.
Because I remember watching
it's
you
so
play it.
But the game was, you know, there was a fun. I enjoyed the space battling. That was fun. I enjoyed that. Yeah. And I enjoyed tricking out my spaceship and making it a good. I had this fucking legendary spaceship. Man, it was awesome. And it was all red. And I was like, I just imagined, because I was killing people in like seconds at a certain point. It was so good. Yeah. And I was doing that thing where I play in the world of the game. So I had this sort of thing in my head where I would show up somewhere and people would see my ship. And I imagined my head. They were like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Oh, fuck. We got to get out of there. They're dead already. And I loved getting on to There were things I liked about it. You could like knock out the engines of a ship. You didn't really play much of this game, did you?
I did not play. It looked really generic. Like the gameplay loop.
Yeah, I mean it's a Bethesda gameplay loop. I mean, you know
I know. I'm sad that's now known as like a Bethesda gameplay loop. Because Bethesda used to be like, oh, fuck, Bethesda's coming out with a new game.
What I will say is that they went back to the text-based stuff, though. Like, they don't do the... You know how in Fallout 4 it was like, yeah. They gave, like, a fucking guy, and it was like... And then it was just such a weird choice, because they just didn't understand the reason why people like role-playing games. Not because they want to play a guy who's fully voiced and has like vague text options. No, because we want to be able to use our own internal voice to say the lines. Those of us who have internal voices, because apparently some people don't.
What do you think, real quick? Like, what do you think about in The Witcher, which is a great role playing game?
Wait! But can I say the last thing I was going to say about?
All right, get it out. Because
I would knock the engines out of ships in space and then board them and then get on and kill everyone.
It's like Mandalorian style, kind of.
Yeah, and it was fun. It was very fun.
Well, I was thinking I was going to like hard agree and say, oh, yeah, people shouldn't like the protagonist you play as in an RPG should never be voiced. But then I started thinking, The Witcher, like Geralt in The Witcher 3 is really good, though. But that's not as much a role-playing game.
It is an RPG, but...
it's not like one where you're building your character from scratch at the beginning of Fallout. Like, you pick all your perks, you pick, you know... You're not like, deciding what your character looks like and all this shit.
Yeah,
like you're
playing it's an as iteration Geralt. Of an RPG, though, you know? It's an RPG,
but you're playing as Geralt. You have to play as Geralt, you know?
Yeah, the role you're playing is Geralt of Rivia.
Yeah. You can kind of choose who Geralt likes and doesn't like, but you have to play as Geralt, which I think has a place.
Either way, no matter what you choose, you're always going to be saying, "Wind's howling."
That game had great one-liners.
Yeah. No, he did. And it was weird is that I liked that engine, too. There was something that felt very raw about it, you know? It felt like I was kind of there. The wind sounds it was very windy there.
That game was really good about making you
I never
feel
finished
like,
it. It was huge.
Honestly, I'm so I hate to say this. And
you didn't
in a
finish
different,
it either?
I didn't finish it either. I must be every time you that you, oh I'm keep like tripping over myself here. In 2015 when it came out, you were but a speck on the internet at the time.
I got it. Like, I got it for you for free, though.
You did. You got me the code, and you had like 2,000 subs, 2,500 subs. It was like 11th grade.
Yeah, it was like
you somehow got it for free. That was a magical moment for us.
Yeah,
whether
it
you
was.
Realized it, or I was like, oh my god, Ted's a YouTuber. He's getting video games for free. That was
how many
$60
games have I bought you now at this point?
Oh, a lot. I mean, hey, I pass it along. I buy people games too.
Yeah.
That was kind of a one of the tenets of our friend group, harkening back to this other episode we did. One of the things was like, you buy in the game? Like, I'll play it if you buy it.
Yeah, the phrase "you buy in" is a big phrase where it's like, hey, we should totally get like pizza or something. You buy in?
Yeah. Yeah. And that translated into video games. And in high school, you knew somebody really wanted to play a game if they bought it for you. You're like, here's the game. You got the little Steam notification.
Yeah, I forget if I don't think I finished it, but like, you know, because that game is so expansive. There's so many things to kill, you know, and I hope I still have a working save, because it's one of those things, too, where when you leave The Witcher 3 for a while, I've been like, sometimes I'll return to it and try to go after it. When you return to it after a while, there's a lot of like this sort of like there's a way to play The Witcher 3 that and there's a certain feel to it that you have to re-get used to a little bit. Because
yeah, like the combat.
Yeah, the combat.
It's not
stuff,
Dark Souls-y.
Like,
it's kind of unique.
Yeah, and like, you know, it's a little bit like original Assassin's Creed. It's a little bit like this and that, and like you got to know all the fucking spells to use, like Igni, powers and stuff.
And the combat's very like flowy.
Yeah, you got to research the creatures too.
Oh yeah, and each creature's got weaknesses. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you're trying all these stuff. You're drinking potions. You're doing
that,
all this stuff. You
that
know?
Game goes pretty deep with the potion stuff if you want it to. I remember, like, and sometimes you get a hard creature, which this is kind of fun in a game. You get a, you're, if like, especially when you're really enveloped in it, you get a hard creature, and then you're like, oh man, I need help. And you're like, oh, I should research this potion. You're on a quest to like make this potion. It's like a little side quest for yourself.
Yeah. I feel like you would have gotten really into that game too because of like,
oh, I did.
There's
I
put, an environmental aspect of it, of like learning new creatures.
Yeah.
And
there was the
little
bestiary where you like the encyclopedia of the creatures and you got to like,
do you always read the bestiaries?
I am a sucker for them. I mean, I got Monsterology fucking right here.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, so that game, I put about 150 hours into one save, and I still didn't beat it.
Man, can you believe that Skyrim is almost fucking 14 years old, though?
Yeah, that game, I never beat either. I missed the boat.
You never beat Skyrim?
In 2011, when it came out, I missed the boat. I was didn't give a fuck about fantasy at the time. I was a sci-fi kid, hardcore sci-fi kid. I've switch teams so hard it's not even funny. I'm fantasy all in now. But I was so enveloped in Battlefield 3 that I just did not give a fuck about Skyrim. And I've tried to play it over the years, and for some reason I just always get like a quarter to halfway in, and then if some, you know,
like that's kind of like that's like if we were back when we were playing Skyrim, like if we were older, you know, if we were old men. That would be like if you were saying like, yeah, no, I never played Oblivion.
No, I know. And Oblivion Remasters, what's funny?
I'll play it.
Oh, I'm totally going to play it. I'm so
excited.
You're going
to stream it? You're going to stream
it? No, I might. This might be a couch one for me.
It's a, oh, really?
Well, I have to pick and choose. The streaming, I like streaming. I've been vibing with it a lot this year. The problem is, it's like, do you stream every new game? Are there things you should save for yourself? It's a hard line.
Well,
for
when
me.
Was the last time you streamed a new game? Because there is value in being the first, technically, in streaming.
There, yes. You know what I've been kind of mentally preparing for is GTA 6. That game is going to be too big to not stream. You
too
like
big
that,
to fail.
That game is going to be on stream every day for like a month.
Yeah. Oh
like,
God,
especially the online component.
When's
we'll
that coming
stream-
out? In fall? In the fall?
Yeah. Like, God we'll probably damn, be playing dude. The online together.
I can't
together.
Believe that it's coming out. GTA, how long was GTA 5 out?
2013.
It's
12 years.
When we were in high, well, when we were in high, when we got into high school.
It came out on the 360.
It's weird how there are certain, like, it's gotten to the point now where games like this, like, really solid, good games like this,
takes
are
so
stuff
long.
That we have to wait large Dude. Portions of our lifetime to be able to experience again.
Think about this. Switch 2, it was 8 years from Switch 1 to 2. That means by the if it's the same track, that means the next Nintendo console will come out when I'm 35. Like, I'll probably have... I'll have an 8-year-old when the next Switch 2... Geez. My kid will be more excited for the next Nintendo console than I will be.
Yeah, well, they'll be just getting into it. You'll, that'll be the beginning. Like they will have been conscious for about 3 years at that point.
Yeah. Well, we are going to continue the conversation. You know, I love talking games on the Patreon bonus portion of this episode.
The bonus portion. And then after that, we'll be recording another episode
of the new series. New series starting today.
New series starting today. We're going to be doing modded. I spent 8 hours fucking making sure all the mods were working for this, which is our modded Project Zomboid server. And we're going to do a whole new thing, and we're going to do, maybe we might even, for the first recording, we might even turn that into like a little cut down preview kind of thing that people that will release on the main thing as a special. Who knows? It's something we're kind of, you know, mudding around.
We would like to be able to have a Project Zomboid special at some point in the future.
Yeah.
I don't think we should commit it to being this one. Or maybe after like 3 episodes, we have somebody like condense the first 3.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah. But either way, we're going to be heading over to the Patreon now. So join us over there if you'd like to support the podcast. We've
helps
got,
us out big time. I mean,
yeah, it helps us out big time.
Lots of content.
We are a blue collar small business podcast. You know,
we are a small business.
This ain't as big as Chuckle. I had someone the other day that was commenting and they were on my new video because I promoted Take It Easy on it. And they were like, Ted, you'll never, take it easy, you'll never have as many subscribers as Chuckle Sandwich. And I'm like, I know. I know. I mean, like,
Chuckle Sandwich was birthed out of an SMP with three big names.
I know. It's so funny how people are like, they're like, compare as if they should be the same.
And
so
you know
funny.
What? That person probably had zero subs.
That's true. But either way, we have to see you over there. Over at the Patreon, we love you to death. Thanks for listening to this episode of Take It Easy, Easy Goers. And we'll see you next time.
Peace, guys.